You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I'm talking about straining for that logo on the side of your helmet and not the name on your back.
Yes, sir.
Because we know what it represents. It represents everybody here you see and everybody you can't that we've talked about. I'm here to strain with you, man. I swear to God, I'm here to strain with you. Let's go. Everything you got, strain with everything you got.
Let's go.
Let's go. Bills on three. One, two, three.
Bills.
You're listening to the Off Tackle with John Fita Show with your host, Joe Miller.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Off Tackle with John Fita Show, brought to you by Endel Elmer. Ficta Endel and Elmer Eye Care. Sorry, so I'm trying to do two things at once.
It can be a tongue twister.
It can be on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. My name is Joe Miller, and I am sitting around some legends this evening for this show. And I'll be honest with you, I am not super excited to be here talking. If the three of us could just chill and like talk about like barbecue and food. And like the old days when you guys used to just go out and kick people's asses because you were supposed to, instead of talking about that blank show that we all had to sit through yesterday. But anyways, my name is Joe Miller. And as you can see, I'm still pissed off right there. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. And here with the always present and beautiful John Fina and a special guest for this show, Jerry O. Big Jerry O. How are you guys tonight? How are both you guys doing?
Well, let me tell you, you got to vent last night on the Overreaction Pod, and then you get to come and tell Jerry and I we have to talk about fishing and barbecue. Like, we don't get to vent. I've been saving it up. Jerry O, what do you think? Total BS, right?
It's just Joe, man. You know, he doesn't want to relive it again. He's already relived it once. He's got to relive it again.
Dude,
I was checked out for the show, and then now it became available, and I had to watch that garbage today just so I could be up to speed. I should have called in sick twice, but I won't be here next week. So, Jerry O, you're on next week, and I think
I'm on next week again.
You out next week?
I'm out next week as well. So yes.
So is it me and Spence,
Jerry O, or Sarah? This is going to be the Off Tackle with John Fina Show, hosted by Joe Miller. Oops. Jerry O and Spencer, Sarah. Or...
Well, welcome everybody into the show. Thank you for everybody piling into the comments section. It's so good to have you. Whether you are consuming this podcast, vidcast on like after this show on your favorite podcast network, or you're watching it live with us now, please like, please subscribe. We'll do the best we can to interact with you and to get some of your comments up onto the screen. I'm going to let these two guys like go at it for this show, so I'll be able to monitor the chat really, really well, and when good questions come up. But if you feel the need, if you feel the desire to super chat us, please do. If you want to ask Jerry or John a question, especially about maybe some of the stuff that came out today or happened yesterday or where you think this is going or whatever. But we're going to try to have some fun talking about this game. And I don't know what's going on and who that is. One of y'all, it's John. You're giving us some digital distortion. I don't know what it is, but yes. What we're going to do first, we are going to listen to our spot from our show sponsor, Ficta Endel and Elmer Eye Care.
Picture this. Crystal clear vision without the hassle of glasses or contacts. Imagine watching Josh Allen's game-changing touchdowns with absolute clarity. At Ficta Endel and Elmer Eye Care, we can make that a reality. Now, in a matter of seconds with Zeiss Smile technology, you can see clearly and get back to doing the things you love as soon as the next day. Visit us online at ficta.com and take our free self-test to see if you're eligible and schedule an evaluation. Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care. Focused on you. Go Bills.
We are focused on you. It's so good to have everybody with us. Gentlemen, it's on like Donkey Kong. So let's let's just jump right into this thing. I think it's time for your thoughts. You've been bottling it up. You've been holding it in, waiting for this moment. John, Jerry.
Well, I guess we should start with something really important. In the chat, we suggested that Jerry and I coordinated our outfits, but
John, man, your headset. All right. No, you're creating static.
Yeah, you've got some digital distortion going on.
You got a hardwire headset there available?
I'll drop and reconnect. We'll see what happens. What do you think about that?
All right. Let's do that.
It's audio distortion, not video?
Yes.
Oh, audio. Now it just went away. So whatever you got over there, you just touched and it works. So go ahead. Now it's back.
Coming back.
It's bad or it's good?
It's there, but it's barely there. Let's just get started. And if we have to, if I have to mute you, we'll mute you. But yes, let's.
By the way, Mimi said you can start with fixing your audio, Dad.
That's great. So, I appreciate that. You know, this issue with my audio kind of reminds me of yesterday's game. Mm. Like, you turn around, you look one play, and every play, one guy is screwing up. Mm. And you just can't have it. So they all took turns like, hey, I didn't get my turn yet. So I'm going to miss this block or I'm going to run this route or I'm going to eyeball that guy downfield or Dorian Williams doesn't pass the guy off and make it to the flat. So, yeah, it was pretty aggravating, just like my audio not working.
Yeah, your audio is working. It's just adding some noise. It's giving us some flavor is basically what it's doing.
Well, listen, my cousin Christopher Fina works for Fox Sports, ooh, right? And they do all the spots, NASCAR spots. So when the cars go flying around on the commercials, my cousin does all that. He comes to town. He resets up my entire setup. And it went from boring, lame, but effective to high tech and spotty. So, I mean, and again, another corollary with the Buffalo Bills game, right?
That's funny.
Spotty.
That's best. Funny. Yeah, we can keep those rolling and keep them coming. Jerry, what were your thoughts on this football game? And I'm sure that we're going to talk more than just that brief statement that John just gave us. But yeah.
Well, the first thing was I tend to find it humorous when people attack Bill Belichick. Don't take that the wrong way, Joe. I'm not saying that you did that yesterday, which you did, but
I do.
I think that people don't realize that Belichick can scheme up defense. And I thought that they did a wonderful job on defense. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the game, I thought he did a really good job of disguising coverage, confusing the receivers and confusing the quarterback. And I think the kind of tell that was happening is a lot of times offenses will go to an empty set, right? And mm-hmm. if you notice, they went to an empty set quite a bit early. And it's to try to determine, you know, to see that coverage more clearly. If you put more receivers out there, now the defense has to come out. They got to get man-to-man. They got to do different things. So it was to try to clear up the confusion in the coverage that the Patriots were running. So I thought the Patriots did a really good job defensively. Second thing is their offense, it was like circa 1990s when John and I played there. I made a comment to you guys. I said, I think Sam Gash made millions of dollars in the NFL mm-hmm. catching the out route against us over and over and over again. And he did it against a team that had the blitz, right, to try mm-hmm. to bring pressure. And, you know, I thought that he did a wonderful job of scheming up our defense with the pressures and hitting the little dump passes, going and replacing behind the linebackers where they were before they blitzed, bringing those tight end routes across, hitting those shorter routes. So I thought that Belichick did a really good job scheming up both sides of the ball. But the biggest thing for me yesterday was just – and it was another game, and I know you guys were laughing at me because I decided to chart all the plays yesterday. And it was a tale of two different, you know – when we were trying to just run our offense, we weren't very good. Mm-hmm. When we got into about 7:45 left in the game and we had to have two scores, we went to the two-minute offense, and we scored two touchdowns in about 5 minutes and looked really, really good. And it kind of, you know, I wouldn't say woke me up at all, but it kind of opened my eyes a little bit to what I think a lot of us feel the situation might be, which is we're trying to get 17 to play in this ball control, you know, dink and dunk type offense to help our defense. And that's just not what he is.
When Sean McDermott says,
oh, hold on a second. I want to just touch on what Jerry said. They did a good job scheming, and there were a lot of guys coming free. And you know, my typical way I watch the game is I will watch the entire play, see where the point of failure is, and then go back and then determine who caused the point of failure. And it looked like there were a lot of free guys coming in on pass protection yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I thought, geez, this is an inordinate number of them. Now, there were – Torrance had two just miserable plays, and Connor McGovern had a really bad play. But to Jerry's point, if you go back and you want to really dissect offensive line play with respect to pressure or even the run game, you got to do it that way, because there were a number of passes where if you got five offensive linemen blocking five pass rushers, then your protection is solid. The last guy, the sixth guy, belongs to the quarterback.
Yes.
And there were about there were about five instances where, man, that defense just was super well planned, because we had five guys blocked. You cannot block six. And then on a bootleg to the right, Jerry, we fake left, we boot right. Spencer Brown sells it. I think it was Matthew Judon did not bite. He came upfield. All Josh had to do was slide back to his left, but he just continued to roll. So they're not. It's not always on the offensive line, though. There were some poor instances. You know, it's a lot of different things. Sometimes it's the quarterback, sometimes it's the line, sometimes, damn it, they have the right defense called, and they had a lot of the right defense called yesterday.
Right, and real quick before we get to the next thing, Joe, and what John was saying was, you know, the sixth guy comes, you have nobody for him because you're empty and you got the back out of the backfield.
Sure.
So the quarterback's got to go ahead and account for him. And I think I counted yesterday, like, they had one sack, but they had like 12 pressures. And a lot of those pressures were in that empty formation.
No, I'm not ready to move on from thoughts on the game. I was more interested in what your guys' comments would be around Sean McDermott constantly saying, you know, as long as we stay on schedule as an offense, we got off schedule, we weren't on schedule, or I felt like we were really on schedule. Like, what the hell does on schedule mean? Because the only schedule there should be is scoring freaking touchdowns, however you need to score them.
Do you want that, John, or do you want me to take that?
Well, I'm a little mystified by it, too. I think what I'd say is when he says schedule, then he's got an arbitrary or maybe not so arbitrary thought process of, if we've got 160 yards passing, we should have 60 running. If we've run, you know, 25 pass plays, we need to have 11 running plays. So maybe he's got some sort of metric where he's trying to keep this balance in his head. Jerry, what do you got? Because I am a little mystified by that.
I think on schedule also means that it's the old adage, the old saying, you're not behind the chains, right? You're always gaining some sort of yardage. If you're on third down, it's third and six or less, right? You're not giving up. You're not causing penalties where you're having to be third and 20 or, you know, first and 15. You're on schedule.
We did a fair amount of that yesterday.
Right,
too.
Exactly. So I think that was also part of what he was talking about, was just, where are you within the down sequence? Are you within that 10-yard realm within your down sequence?
In a position to succeed on third down, third and six or less, right? Reasonable down and distance to convert. You know, it could all, if he meant by managing the clock, we didn't manage the clock very well. There were times when the clock damn near ran out. There was a delay a game or two. It did not have the feeling of a plan put in place that was run smoothly. It just did not.
Yeah, it's interesting. I assume that that's what he meant, but there's always just a little bit of just concern, especially right now for me, as far as how much is the head coach meddling in the offensive side of the football. Now, I don't for one second feel like he doesn't have the right to know or the right to be a part of, any good leader is gonna know what's going on that side of the ball. Any good leader is also going to allow the leader that he put in charge of that side of the ball to effectively do the things that he wants them to do or that they need to do to be successful. But even today in some of the pressers, you know, we heard Sean McDermott say, you know, that there's an aspect to Josh Allen's game when he was asked. And I don't remember the specific question, but there's an aspect of like when it's time to take what the defense gives you, you take what the defense gives you. And when it's time to let Josh be Superman, then Josh needs to flip the switch and go out there and be Superman. And Ken Dorsey was also asked some interesting pointed questions today to where they just asked him, you know, what is the level of connection, what is the level of involvement that Sean McDermott has? And he said, well, it's more hierarchical, we meet, but it's more of a philosophy thing. And I think to me that spells a lot of problems, specifically given the history around Brian Daboll. And those two did not get along. And the reason that I don't believe that those two got along was because Brian Daboll was given the same thing. Hey, I want a balanced, not necessarily run heavy offense, but I want balance. I want an effective run game, blah, 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 blah. And Brian Daboll's like, I got Josh Allen. Like, what are you talking about? And it created a lot of tension between the two of them to the point that Brian was trying to get out. Like Brian was, if he had not gotten a head coaching job, he was going to dip. He was going to bounce because it was uncomfortable for him. We saw it in a handshake last week, which there basically wasn't one. And now we've got Ken Dorsey basically giving that to Sean McDermott, which in my opinion has put Josh Allen in a situation where he is not having any fun.
And what's funny about that, Joe, is he probably coached for what people would say is the biggest hard ass in the game of football.
Two of them.
Saban.
And Belichick.
And Belichick. And he doesn't have those issues with either of those two guys. So yeah, but that is interesting.
But Belichick, you know, when they had Tom Brady. Think about this, though. I mean, you asked, Joe, your initial question was, is Sean meddling too much? If he's meddling at all beyond a 10-minute meeting once a day, he's got a defense to run. So I hope to God he's not spending his time over there meddling with Dorsey in the offense. I mean, he's got to give it free rein. And whether that means unleash the beast or, you know, let Dorsey just run it any way he sees fit. I don't think now that he's the DC, he can really spend a lot of time trying to direct that offense. And you're right. He has a right to know. Again, it's his job on the line.
Yep.
But he likely doesn't have the time to do that.
Yeah. It's so Daboll, you know, yes, played for Saban or coached for Saban and coached for Belichick. However, Belichick, when Brady was in his prime, let Brady be Brady and let that offense be whatever offense that they were going to be as long as they scored points, right? I mean, he was in control of the defense. And getting back to the original point you made, Jerry, as much as I slam Bill Belichick for not being the quote-unquote greatest head coach of all time, because I don't think he is. I think with Tom Brady, he was. Without Tom Brady, he's average at best. There's nobody that can argue he is probably the greatest defensive mind to ever, right, coach football. Like, the dude... There's personal history between the Bills and him that goes way back as far as that goes. But when you're talking about this game in particular and what the expectations were coming into this game, like, I was 98% sure the Bills were going to curb stomp them. Like, the Patriots were beyond bad. This is like historically bad for Bill Belichick and that team. Like, I said it on my show last night. It was in the news. That Patriots offense went 30 like drives without reaching the red zone, not 30 snaps, not five drives, not 30 snaps, 30 drives. And the Buffalo Bills let them score on their first two drives, like bang, bang, right away.
But if you notice too, this wasn't a game where they put a tremendous amount of pressure on Mac Jones. To throw the ball downfield past 25, 30 yards. I mean, he made a couple of long throws, but this was, again, it almost had that feel of when we played Miami, right? That dink and dunk, then hit the big throw. Very user-friendly offense for them yesterday. By the way, the play discrepancy was eight. I might be off one or two. First half was 18 passes to 11 runs. So not dead nuts 50% each, but pretty close.
Right.
But I think that it had the feel of Belichick being two steps ahead of us at all times, especially offensively.
How overwhelmingly predictive predictable is this offense right now.
Well, I meant even them playing offense with our defense. I thought that there was always a guy sitting where, you know, sitting where he needed to be in the hole, replacing linebackers. I think both sides of the ball. And you're right. The offense is extremely predictable with what they're trying to do. But it's just,
you're going to be predictable when you don't have pressure at the wide receiver position. I just don't think that Gabe Davis is the guy. Shakir, they're either not trying to utilize him in a more threatening way. They're not utilizing the rookie tight end, who's, in my opinion, that was the key to success. If you didn't have, you know, a premier wide receiver too. Now you go to Dawson Knox. He's got this injury. Reggie Gilliam has caught balls in the past. Why are we putting a guy in with a hand injury? That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, if he says he can play, then catch the ball. There's no, you know, you don't get to choose both. You don't get to say I'm fine and then drop a ball and then go have surgery. And I feel bad for the guy, but stay out of the game.
Writing was on the wall anyway, John. If you looked at the way the thing went, when they kind of phased him out, I guess maybe towards the second half, after the drop or whatever, he wasn't in quite as much. And all of a sudden Kincaid started getting his reps and 11 personnel when they were going three wides and one tight end. Kincaid was seen and noticeable. I know he didn't, you know, yardage wise,
And that goes back to the discussion of underutilizing rookies in McDermott's team, right?
He did have eight catches.
James Cook is electrifying. Find more ways to get him open. His reaction on Josh's scramble to head downfield and make that catch, he looked like a five-year vet doing
right.
that. He has acceleration in the hole. He has a great jump cut. You know, he doesn't tackle easily. I mean, he's a star, and you know what? We're keeping him from launching, it seems. If you don't have wide receiver two, bring in Latavius Murray, get Deontay Hardy, get somebody else in there, and get Cook out of the backfield, creating mismatches in the middle of the field with linebackers, because those guys can't cover.
I just felt like of all the games, this one was unacceptable, right? I mean,
unacceptable.
There's an aspect of week to week. There's an aspect to any given Sunday. There's an aspect to all of those types of cliche things, you know, and especially, and I said this on my show ad nauseum yesterday, you know, week to week, it's week to week. This is a week to week league. That's what everybody said in the presser yesterday. Well, and they've been saying it for a couple of weeks. It's a week to week league. Well, you know what? This is what you look like every week. So it's no longer week to week. This is who you are, right?
And I think that,
Joe, you just expect them to reveal too much. They're never going to reveal anything. You are always going to get those lines until you might think the house is on fire. The rest of the people in Bill's Mafia might think the house is on fire, but we're not going to get any, you know, dripping with blood, bite-sized video and audio chunks coming out until things just start, you know, the gunfire turns on one another. It's just not going to happen.
But it also,
and John, McDermott won't allow it.
And well, the other thing to be nice is if McDermott could take his ass to a podium on Monday and have a press conference in front of everybody instead of hiding in his office behind his desk. I mean, that's leadership and, you know, 101. That's, you know, if I talk to somebody in my office, I remove myself from my desk and I get face to face with them. So I don't have this wall, right? This kind of aura of I'm powerful and you're not, or I'm the boss and you're this, you know, get in front of a podium and talk to people and make eye contact. I mean, doing it on Zoom is ridiculous.
I don't disagree with you, but you can only do that as long as two circumstances are met. Number one, you've identified the problem and maybe they don't know how to fix it. So if you can't identify the problem and fix it, that's number one. And the plan, this is what we're going to do. Maybe they do have those two things and they're not sharing, but I agree with you. I'd be more forthcoming if I could say, here's the problem, right? And this is how we're going to fix it. But I don't think they have a real diagnosis of what direction to go. They might be able to identify the problems, but not have a plan. Or maybe they're still trying to figure out who's the problem.
Right. Well, here's the thing. And this is, before we get much further, I'm just going to get straight to it. And John, we've seen, I mean, there's guys like this all the time. I mean, we play Tennessee and Eddie George and McNair were the two of the biggest quarterbacks, running backs you'd ever seen in your life. NFL's about freaks, right? There's freaks everywhere. We happen to have one of them that plays quarterback, okay? He is an elite athlete with elite size and an elite arm talent. Mm-hmm. And to continue to try to put him into a system that helps our defense, because we might have to make a, you know, have a quick change and play on a short field because he threw an interception or something, is ridiculous. You got to let the guy do what he does. They ran one called run yesterday. He's not running. Okay. If you want a comparative of what this looks like, look at Philadelphia earlier in the year to what they are now. They changed one thing. Jalen Hurts is running again. They tried to not have him run as much in the beginning of the season. Now he's running again, and all of a sudden, wow, last night they had an epiphany. They start scoring in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jerry, it's let not, me ask you no. this. All right, did you play 11 or 12?
I played 10.
All right, you played 10. Maybe somebody needs to go to Josh and say, would you trade the last 4 years at the back end of your career, wear yourself out and win a Super Bowl, or do you want to play 14 years? You know, I mean, maybe they're not asking the kid. Maybe they're protecting him for something, but if he wants to win right now, let him loose, right?
At 26 years old, he is not thinking about his football career at 37 and 38.
I'm agreeing with you. Let him go.
Yeah. And what's to say he doesn't play 14 years? But if you look similar situations in the league, we talked about Hurts earlier. Dak Prescott's in the same deal. He ran. He made plays with his feet. He broke his ankle. Then all of a sudden, hey, we got to protect Dak. And now he's sitting back there patting the ball, because he's not in the flow of the game. That's not what he is. You got to let him run. And these young guys that come out of the college game nowadays, that's what it's about. If option number one's not there, you can't find two, you better pull it down and go. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does. And his runs change games. And you got to allow him to do it.
No question about it.
Real quick, because I know you guys got things you want to talk about and move on, but I liken it to Brett Favre. I mean, Favre was terrible with the football early in his career. Mm-hmm. He gets to Green Bay, and even his Holmgren is working with him. He's still, you know, he's starting to figure it out, but he's terrible with the ball. But eventually he eliminated some of the silly turnovers. He still had one every now and then because he took so much pride and thought he could fit the ball in anywhere. But you know what? You're going to have to take a couple of those every now and then. The collateral damage you got to accept to allow this guy to do what he does well, and to try to harness him, to me, is silly.
I agree.
But you threw something in there, the collateral damage, interceptions, turnovers, et cetera. And you're looking at a defense that's pretty depleted. So I hear what you're saying. I guess if you score 48 and you can at least hold them to 35, you're in a good spot.
They held him to 29. You score 48, you win that football game. I think a better comp is Steve Young. You know, Steve Young was a mobile running quarterback that ran most of his career. And there's something about those young guys that run a lot early. They generally have a tendency to mature, and they have a tendency to learn how to beat a team with just their arm. And then their legs become a byproduct of who they are, and they use it just to basically smash you into the ground, which is what Steve Young did. But for some reason, it's in everybody's brain that Josh is going to become Cam Newton and be done by year six. And it's like, Josh is not Cam Newton.
No, I don't see that either.
Like, it's even the types of hits he's taking are different when he runs the football. And, oh, by the way, and this gets talked about all the time, Josh gets hurt in the pocket. He doesn't get hurt running.
That's my question to you guys. Do you think he is a little banged up? Because I don't know. Because he was not accurate with open receivers yesterday. I mean, he made plays later in the game in the 2 minute, but he did miss some throws.
His shoulders bothered.
Yeah, not as bad as in London, I think. But there were a few errant passes. I don't know. I mean, Jerry, when did you ever play fully healthy? The first game of the season.
The first
practice of training camp, right?
And then that was it.
And you're always going to power through those kinds of things.
You
make adjustments.
Let's go to the shortest segment of the night, which is going to be the good from this football game. What was the good?
On defense, go ahead, Jerry.
No, you go ahead.
I don't think anything on the perimeter of the defense was glaringly awful. The plan wasn't good. We gave up a lot of, you know, 6, 8, 12-yard passes, but they seem more by design. So there was nothing glaringly awful in the secondary. I think that Terrell Bernard continues to play well. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm done on defense. On offense, James Cook. You know, I continue to say this guy's great. I think Dalton Kincaid looked very good. And, you know, you want to say that's every week he looks great, but we're not featuring the guy. We got to feature him. Stephon Diggs did Stephon Diggs things. And, you know, I didn't think the tackles were awful. I thought the interior line play was substandard. The tackles weren't awful, but they weren't great either with penalties. Dion had a penalty. I don't remember Spencer having a penalty.
My good, obviously, Dalton Kincaid. I think it took care of itself today with the Knox announcement that he's getting wrist surgery. But It's to me anyway. It was quite obvious that he needs to be getting most of Knox's reps when they're not in two tight end sets. And I think you're going to see that now. Obviously, Morris is a little banged up with Knox out. They're probably going to be in 11 more.
They're going back to 11 with one tight end, a tight end that can catch the football. This could be the best thing that happens to this offense.
But here's what needs to happen in that.
But not to Dawson Knox.
Right. But here's the other thing that needs to be figured out real fast. I think in this next game plan, they've got to get Hardy and they got to get Sheffield or whoever involved much earlier, more in the passing game, get him playing the slot, especially Hardy, and see if these guys can do some things with some speed stuff over the middle to open stuff up. And are they the complement that Diggs needs if Gabe Davis is going to continue to be invisible in the passing
game? Joe did this big yawn thing. Either agrees with you so much he can't stand himself, or he's just so angry he can't.
I don't know what's going on.
With respect to what Jerry said about getting Sherfield.
I don't know what's going on with this.
Like, where are they?
And I don't know what's going on with Josh Allen. Because Josh Allen, when he had Stephon Diggs and he had John Brown and Cole Beasley, and I think Dawson Knox back then, threw the football all over the field and spread it all over the place. When John Brown moved on and he had Emmanuel Sanders and Gabe Davis was the number three wide receiver and he had Cole Beasley and he had Dawson Knox, with Steph Diggs, he threw the ball all over the field to everybody, spread it around pretty much like butter, just spread it all over the field. Now, all of a sudden, the only person he's throwing the football to, and I know that he hit 9 different receivers yesterday, that's not what I'm talking about, he's focused on Stephon Diggs, and that's it. Trent Sherfield is a good wide receiver. Deontay Hardy has proven this year in a Bills uniform with one catch in almost every game where he catches the football, makes a guy miss or two, and then gets a first down, and then like doesn't get another target. It was on the radio this morning that Gabe Davis, his yards per target were like 1.6. Stephon Diggs was at 5. Deontay Hardy was 10. Josh threw him the ball twice, I think. Once he caught the ball, and then he overthrew him badly on the second one. I don't understand. You've got weapons on this football team. Why is he afraid to throw them the football? I guess they could not be getting open. I could surmise that they're not reading the defense the way that Josh is. And I know Cole Beasley, and as much as people in this town don't like Cole Beasley, was always on the same page with Josh. Josh knew where Cole was going to be. Always. And maybe he doesn't have that level of trust, but that's something they got to fix, right? I mean, these guys are good wide receivers and we're not using them at all.
Otherwise, why do they live in the zip code?
Right.
Why are they in town? What are we doing?
You've got other guys. Bring up Andy Isabella and see if he vibes with Josh, if he is on the same page with Josh, if it's not Trent Sherfield, right? I just. Mm-hmm.
You said something last night on your podcast, Josh staring down receivers, and that's exactly what happened on the first play.
Never took his eyes off the first play.
I mean, the guy covering in the flat drops far enough to intercept the ball.
A fat slow linebacker dropped off this man and took the ball away.
Just throw it to the flat. He was obviously open.
Yeah, my point was that when you are a 6-year veteran, all-pro quarterback who's played in the playoffs and won playoff games, you can't make that mistake. You cannot. That's a mistake that 2018 rookie Josh Allen makes. I'm throwing it back.
I love the play. I love the play call.
Sure. I mean, I'm great.
We've been running the ball effectively. Call freaking play action on first and 10 opening drive. That's great. But if it's, you know, want to get a completion, feel good, then throw the out route.
Right.
Throw the guy that's covered by the linebacker.
Yeah. Jerry, what do you want to say?
Diggs was targeted 12 times yesterday, but only 3 times in the first half. So,
they only had 4 possessions. One was the interception. There was a missed field goal in there. I think was it a touch? No, there was a field goal.
Right.
And then a turnover on downs.
Right. So
or a kneel down. Right.
And obviously in the second half, they went after it passing wise. They need to figure it out because I don't think I see a lot of teams, especially and it's the old, and they try to do it with on the first play of the game. That was the pick, but people are attacking the middle of the field at will in the NFL right now with the smaller slot type receivers attacking the middle of the field, or they're running that long drag or that long
the Vikings corner. Just did it.
Yeah.
On cue, the Vikings just did it.
Right.
The rookie from BYU, Amon St. Brown. Amon Ross St. Brown.
He's not a rookie. He's
right.
Not
a rookie.
No. But you know, the kid from BYU is a rookie. Yeah.
Pakua
Nacua.
So why do we not attack that area of the field? Is it personnel?
It's either by scheme or it's by personnel, right, Jerry? It's either scheme or personnel.
But the thing is with me, and again, I made a snide comment again today after I did last night as well about how I'm watching the Eagles game, and it's like it's amazing when you allow a quarterback to ad lib and run and, you know, do things off schedule and how all of a sudden good things happen. I also made another comment today on out there on Twitterverse. You know, there's the Eagles who are 6-1, right? Or 5-1 or whatever they are.
6-1.
2 weeks in a row now, they have made a trade to help their team get better.
Mm-hmm.
Today they make the trade with the Tennessee Titans for the safety. His name slips my mind. Last week they went out, and I know he's old, but he played last night and he caught 2 or 3 balls in Julio Jones. You know, it's one of those deals where are we that strapped that we can't make trades to try to bolster our team? Is that not our philosophy? Is that not what we want to do? Because it would seem to me we have some players that we can move and get value back. So
I want. So what's your position right now? D tackle.
I don't
D tackle receiver.
Probably my first get would be to try to find a receiver.
Oh, that's you have come off your position of Gabe Davis officially. If that's the case,
but I would, we have Deontay Hardy and we've got Khalil Shakir. But here's the thing, John, those other teams.
You got Andy Isabella,
and now you want to go get another guy when we haven't tried these guys. I think you go where there's injuries.
But the Eagles have guys too. But they find one that they think is better. They're not afraid to go make it because to me that's the big thing. To me,
that's fair.
I just think
that defensive line right now looks a little scarier. I mean, Puna Ford, I watched the play yesterday and I was like, really?
Well yeah, Puna played well last week against the Giants though.
Right.
I know, but then you know what's curious is this guy. If anybody can figure out why I got 64 from adlib716 without somebody in the chat knowing the answer. Listen, this guy has been playing great and then just absolutely gets worked on 2 pass plays up the middle. Mm-hmm. And you just, I mean, Jerry, I hate this. You know, people say, oh, they took him lightly. They didn't prepare. They played down to the opponent. I never think that players do, but when you lay an egg against a 1-5 team, I mean, it's an unacceptable loss.
Jerry, you have now come off of your Gabe Davis is my wide receiver too, and you were just asking pointed questions about where are the drag routes, right? Where's the creativity in the offense?
A lot of that was Jerry stirring the pot.
Hang on a second, that's good, that's fine, but I'm going to stir. I'm going to grab the spoon and stir for a second. You're talking about plays. There isn't a throw on the football field that Josh Allen cannot make. There isn't a throw on the football field that we have not seen Josh Allen make. So if those things are no longer in the offense or if they're not available to Josh Allen, is it the quarterback or is it the offensive coordinator?
Okay, I'm going to answer that one.
I can answer it. I mean, if you're not letting Josh move and do the things he does athletically, it's obviously on the coaching.
Right.
Well, all right. Yeah, I agree, but for a different reason. I think you have to plan to expose the middle of the field, and I don't think we're planning on it.
Also,
I don't
the
think that that's our.
Also, the
offense. Yeah. So I'm saying offensive coordinator.
Part of what I said last night was, you know, I got to do my show. My TV was on just like it is right now. And, you know, I'm occasionally gazing, but I knew what was happening above my computer screen. I knew the Eagles with Sirianni had this crazy creative offensive game plan. And we know what Mike McDaniel is doing in the with the Dolphins and, you know, this crazy creative game plan. And then you watch the Buffalo Bills. And it looks nothing. And I know that Brian Daboll is gone, but this is still Brian Daboll's quote unquote offense with Dorsey's fingerprint on it. And it is a shell of what it used to be. And Josh Allen is a shell of who he used to be.
I think that the difference is what is the offensive philosophy? Are you calling plays and you're calling plays to have your best players beat their guys to get open? Or are you calling plays that you're putting the defense in a bind and you're saying, okay, it doesn't matter if the guy running the route, Stephon Diggs, it can be Sherfield, it can be Hardy, it can be whoever. That defensive guy's in a bind. He's either going to do this, and if he does this, I've got this. If he does this, I've got that.
Right.
And I think that's the Eagles and the Miami situation. They put the defenses in a bind so much with their athleticism, with their speed, that you just it's hard to be right. It's that old I don't think everything's RPO. I think everybody likes to say it's RPO. I think there are quite a few, but there's less than you think. But still, I think it's putting teams in a bind and taking what they give you.
I think the answer is easier than that. And you asked the right question. How is the offense operating in respect to the defense? And they need to come to Jesus pretty quick about the fact that this defense cannot play from behind, which means that offense better go get 14 points in a hurry, because they've always been better, because Josh gave them 14 to 21 points since 2020 right out of the gate, bang,
not
down the field.
Right. You're not going to have – everybody's not going to have the 49ers defense that they have this year. You're not going to hold teams the 14.5 points a game. It's just not going to happen. Today's football and the rule sets – you've got, you know what, your defense goes out on the field, you say, just give me three stops. Just give me four stops. Just give me one turnover.
Right.
And a prime example, that's Miami game. But we slugged it out, went what, four or five drives in a row, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Then the Bills finally made a stop.
That was a blinking contest, though.
Right.
Blinking contest.
Right. Wait for the other guy to blink. Yeah.
Right.
And we can survive that way because you can feed off of that enthusiasm and that level of competition.
But a blinking contest works even better when you have a lead, because when you play bend and don't break defense and the score is 7-0, you're losing, or 10-0, you're losing, you're asking them to go make a mistake on offense. And you know what? They don't, because they're not running hard, like difficult plays. If you've got a 14-point lead on them, you're pushing them into mistakes because they're pressing.
Well, Joe, since you put a question on me and put pressure on me, I'm going to give you a question and put some pressure on you.
All right.
Didn't we just have that with Leslie Frazier? Didn't we just have a guy that played the percentages and kept everything in front of him and just made a few stops, and our offense scored more points than the other team and we won?
Except for when they didn't, and that's the problem.
We just had that.
All right. Well, let's dial this back and say where we are today, what's the goal? What's the reasonable goal? Because if you say we're going to win – you know, the one seed, I think you're crazy, no way, right? So what are we striving to get to now, and how do we get there? Right.
So
we want to we could win the division.
Right. To set context, the Buffalo Bills this year still have to play the Ravens, the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Patriots again, which now are apparently a problem. Like they do not, the Bengals, like they do not have an easy schedule.
No, they don't.
Oh, we don't either.
No, that's what I'm saying. The Bills. I just gave you who the Bills have to play.
Okay, I thought you meant the Bengals. My bad. Yeah.
No, the Bills have to play those teams. So now, like, that's context for John's question. Like, what should we
expect? So Listen,
what I want to see, John, anyway, this is my expectation over the next 2 to 3 weeks. I want us to pick an identity and stay with it. And if it's painful where we, the identity is what we're doing now, which is keep Josh in the pocket.
I was just going to say, the identity is what we got right now.
See, I don't think
you're not going to get a huge midseason swing right now.
But I don't think
we got.
But I know who we got. But I mean, you can't tell me that this team can't do what they did against Miami, even though Miami's played two teams with winning records and they got beat by both of them.
That's right.
Okay. So maybe we pull back the boy genius moniker and say you got lucky with a schedule early in the season that wasn't very good. Okay. But still, I want them to pick an identity offensively. What are they going to be? I think they're an 11 team. I think they're three wides. I think they're a tight end. Cooks is really, really good. Make things like you did a few weeks ago easier on your offensive line and go. And you're going to have to let 17 do what he does. If that's not what they do, we're going to get the same thing we've been getting, which is I think we throw stuff on the wall to see what sticks. I really don't know if we play within this grand scheme we're trying to run.
Look, I'm on your side. I hope they do something that's different. But my gut tells me that they won't for one of two reasons. That they just feel like they're not executing properly and they can fix this as it is. Or secondly, the guy who needs to install is not the guy. Like, this is what we got because that's his limitation. So, look, I'd love to see it. I hope I see it. I want to win the rest, right? Wouldn't that be cool, right, to go 14-3?
Right.
I don't smell it. It ain't cooking in the kitchen right now. But what can we add ingredient-wise from trades or subbing guys in and maybe add a little bit of, as Joe would like to see, a little flair here and there? But I think we're in real trouble because we need to be 10 points ahead given the style of defense we play and the number of injuries that we have on defense.
Absolutely.
So we're at the point in the season – to where everybody's saying the same damn thing, you know, let Josh loose. And the reasoning behind it is we need to get ahead and we need to get ahead early. And we're not starting fast and we don't have a rhythm and we're having a hard time sustaining drives. And offenses have figured out how to stay on the field and give us fewer possessions. So if we're going to have fewer possessions, we've got to take more chances.
So the interesting thing about all of that is you said, John, and you're not wrong, we're not going to see a big change from this offense midseason. But we did. Because after that Dolphins game, we went to London to play the Jaguars, the Giants, and then yesterday. Early in the season, especially the three big wins that we had against Washington, the Raiders, and the Dolphins, Josh Allen was, and this offense was taking what the defense gave them. He was throwing the ball to the flat like a machine, like it was his job to only throw the football to the flat. In the last three games, I think I counted two, maybe three times where he basically scanned the field and then went and just threw it over the flat. One was in the game yesterday, and it was late. That's a big piece that just got revoked from the offense. That if they put it back in, automatically put Bill's rhythm into it. There's also something to be said for Josh Allen running the football, because if he is a threat to run the ball, they have to bring a guy down to cover and take care of Josh, right? Which opens up everything behind him. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I'm totally vexed. Did you just say let Josh be Josh, and then now you want to go back to throwing it in the flat?
No. Those two things can live together.
You faked me. You went this way, then you went that way, and now I don't know which way you're going. But we're all in this category of like we're kind of pulling our hair out. I'm going to get the Rogaine right now.
They can live together. I'm not saying only throw the ball to the flat. What I'm saying is in those three games, Josh was playing Josh Allen football, but he was also he wasn't forcing things. That's what I'm saying. Like, and now we've gone back to a situation where it's like run the ball or force a throw, run the ball or force a throw versus there's just, I'm sorry if it came off that way. Not what I meant. That's not what I meant.
No, look, we're all throwing spaghetti against the wall to see if it's cooked. Right. But which I never do. I'll say this, and I want to make sure I touch on it. If Ed Oliver has a real toe injury, don't expect to see him soon.
Right.
If it's a real toe injury, trust me, I had one and I played through it and I cried every week. I wanted to cut my foot off below the ankle. It hurt so bad. It was miserable. I had two steel plates in my shoe, and at the end of every game, they were like rubber. I mean, it was the most painful thing. And Ed needs to be able to push off. So I don't know what his status is, but if it's a bad toe injury, that's going to be a real problem in the middle of that defense.
This has been a fun conversation.
I had to throw that out there for the people listening.
Good stuff. This has been a fun conversation. And what I want to pose question-wise, I am not a person who is a fan of living in the past. So there's a lot of people who are like, bring back the K-gun. We've been hearing bring back the K-gun since the K-gun left, right? And I'm not a fan necessarily of that thought or that idea. To me, there's one Jim Kelly, right? And Peyton Manning was kind of the predecessor to that offense of Jim Kelly. And it isn't even being done today. There's like not a quarterback out there today that can run what Jim Kelly and Peyton Manning were running back in the day. Both students of Ted Marchibroda. However, I've been saying for years, and it came out on the radio on GR today, they were talking about it as well. Josh Allen in a four-minute offense is almost unstoppable. And John, you and I have talked about it. When they need it, they can flick the switch. We talked about it in this football game. Jerry said it. In the fourth quarter, whatever it was, they're like, oh, we need it right now. Four-minute offense, and they went down and they scored two touchdowns in 5 minutes.
I'm glad you texted him when I told you to text Josh.
What is the reason that they just don't run more of an up-tempo, not a no-huddle necessarily, muddle huddle? Like, why would you not, if you can do it, why would me, everybody wants to answer.
It's your show.
I'll say this. You'll never see the no huddle like that again because, to be honest with you, it was pretty limited. Not in its effectiveness. It's very limited. The number of plays you can roll in. I mean, we ran probably the same 8 plays over and over, if there were even that many. Probably 3 runs and about 5 passes.
Right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a 4-minute offense.
You cut me off. This is the part where I agree with you. It'll take quite a bit of work, but I think it's doable. You have to have a way to get in a variety of plays, 2 plays to Josh that he can choose at the line in a 4-minute situation where he can opt for this pass or that pass or this run or that pass. And there's a little bit more to it now. I think the athletes, the secondaries are better now than they were. The part of the beauty of the K-gun is you had guys on the outside that mismatched in a lot of situations, plus an amazing running back who could catch the ball out of the backfield. And there are more athletes on defense now. I think it's doable in a 4-minute style, but you'll never see,
agreed,
I don't think, a no-huddle like the K-gun again. Jerry?
I'm going to tell this story again. I know Joe's heard me talk about this, and John, I'm sure you remember this, but it's the off season we had when we decided we were going to be a 2-back football team.
Okay. The C-gun.
defenses had caught, they had caught up to the K-gun, and that's where the zone blitz came from. It was Capers or the guy that was the long time coordinator with the Steelers.
It's right at the tip of my tongue.
Capers took over for him.
He was the defensive coordinator for the Bills for a
short time. Yes, exactly. So anyway, that's where the zone blitz was. They were, you know, Dre would look in from the slot. They would go ahead and bring 2. Dre would cut it off. Jim hit him on the slant. And then that's where they came up with the zone blitz to take the slant away. But I'll never forget this. We're in Denver. It's like the third preseason game of the year, I believe. Dick LeBeau. Thank you, Daniel.
Who was like 90 years old and looked like he was 45.
Exactly. And we've been struggling all preseason moving the football with our new offense. So we go out and we're in Denver at Mile High. We run one series and we look like hot garbage again. And Jim calls everybody over and goes, we're not doing this anymore. We go back out. We're no huddle K-gun. That's it. and he makes the decision on the sideline, we're going to do this. So we go out. Jim goes straight. He's like, he sends Carwell out of the game. Then we go one back, three wides, bing, bang, boom, like four plays, score a touchdown. And it was either Tom or Schaffner said, okay, I guess that's what we're doing for that one. And we stayed with the K-gun the rest of the season. Is this a situation, okay? Josh is in what year, six or seven?
What year is Josh?
Six.
Six.
He's in his sixth year. Diggs has been in the league a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
I would pose this question to Stephon. I'd say, Stephon, what do you want? Do you want the ball thrown to you 12 times a game, or do you want to win? And I'd go, if those two, I would be like the Wonder Twins in the superheroes cartoon, and I would come together, and I would go straight upstairs and be like, yo, this is – they've been around long enough to have input on what's going on. I really believe that.
Well, I agree with you, Jerry, but – not all players know what they want. They're great players, but strategy, game planning is a different thing. So, you don't know that those guys are those guys.
Right.
We don't even know that about Josh. Josh might not be that guy. If he is, he needs to go upstairs and say it.
I don't care about a love affair. I said this earlier in the year. I don't care if they like one another. I don't care if they go to each other's parties. I could give a rat's. What matters is winning football games, and they need to figure it out. Because if it's not working, then something needs to change.
You're invited for Thanksgiving, Jerry.
Who's responsible to figure it out? That was the questions that I asked yesterday on my show. So who's the responsible person to figure it out? In my opinion, it's the offensive coordinator. Why continue trying to shove this down the little kid's throat when he's not going to eat squash? Like, stop trying to force feed him.
Right.
But at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree. And then Josh has to be the guy to go up and say, I'm not eating squash.
I don't care what coach wants, McDermott. I don't care what he wants. I can't run this offense anymore.
But, right, you can't do it without a plan either.
I think it's there. It's the same offense. It's not missing.
It's not.
Everything that they're missing right now, at the very least, everything they're missing, urgency, energy, rhythm, timing, keeping the defense off balance, is in a four-minute offense with Josh at the helm of it, right? It's all right there in front of them. But for some reason, and I love James Cook and I love what he's doing, but I think Josh has a better running back group right now than he's had his entire career. Run that old offense with James Cook and Latavius Murray, and they will freaking dominate.
Not saying it can't be done, but you're saying it's just flipping a switch. I mean, there's all kinds of mechanics that go in the background of these things, and they can figure it out. They're smart guys. The question is whether they want to, whether they really think that there is a problem. They might be sitting there saying it's a week-to-week league.
And this week to week league's going to find them sitting home playing golf in January. It's just the Bills ruined my day yesterday, and now Josh is shooting my balloon down today. Or not Josh, John.
And now Jerry is also.
You guys in your professional like tenures.
Yeah. See, but that's my whole thing, and that's what's so frustrating to me. We've seen flashes of greatness this season. It's there. Where is it going? Injury wise, the offense has not been hit with the injury bug like the defense has. I mean, yes, they've just lost Knox, but we don't have the same issues offensively, personnel wise, that we did with that we're having with our defense. So why are we in this funk?
I agree, and I think it's a personnel change at wide receiver is the first step, and in adding some. You call it four-minute offense. I call it up-tempo. They can script a couple of drives, at various times of the game and say, look, this is the plan. We're going to go out. We're going to do this and run it. But I think we have a personnel issue at wide receiver.
Let's do this. Mm-hmm. I'll ask you guys this question. I know we're coming up on it.
You're good.
If you could change one thing Thursday night, if you want to see one thing Thursday night differently – than you've seen in the last so many weeks out of this offense, what is that one thing you want to see? Because the mind's
push
easy.
The game to Sunday. Push the game to Sunday. I think the Thursday night NFL thing is an absolute disaster. It's a crappy broadcast. It's a pile of steaming horse crap. And it's unfair to the players and their health and their mental health. And it's not safe. And it's
one real thing.
But
this is my way of delaying because now I'm on the spot.
Well, so then I'll give you mine.
I'll go first.
Give Josh the ability to make one read and run.
I was just going to say, let Josh run, give him scripted runs, give him the ability to take it and go when he wants to, and give him a scripted run in the somewhere in the first series, which is what we did before.
I'm out.
Yep.
That's exactly it.
Where are you out?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's it.
I thought you were quitting. I thought you
were
all pro OCs in our spare time.
I mean, I want to see him running the football violently. That is a tone setter.
The most amazing thing about Josh's comments about we've got all these all pro at home offensive coordinators that think they know what they're talking about, but they don't know the play call. They don't know this. They don't know that. He went out and proved everybody right, like this past weekend. But more than that, there were actual beat reporters that
I think the poor play did it,
he tweeted out roasted. Like somehow Josh Allen just roasted all the fans. And by the time the game was over, that same beat reporter was posting, what is going on with this offense? Where's the creativity? Where is this? Where is that? And it's like, what is happening right now? Because you are just
Everybody is vexed. There isn't a single person who is not vexed right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want more. We think we have the guy under center to do it. We think we have the right pieces in place, and we just don't think that they're being utilized to the skill set of the guy under center.
But there's a reason for that, and I know that we're running long, and I apologize. So going back to the K-Gun, we watched that offense be dominant, and it only got not dominant, for lack of a better way of saying it, when Kent Hull retired, right? When Jim got old. When Thurman was old, when Andre was pushing the limit. When
defenses got smarter.
Regardless of
blaming players. You're so shallow.
Stop. Regardless of offensive coordinator, regardless of what was going on, the seasons and blah, 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 blah. This is the same quarterback. And he's not old. He's got the same center. Like, there's an aspect to it. Like, there's no reason.
Guys, he started, and I don't want to hear about skewed stats. That's the next annoying thing that... Oh, they're just skewed. They're just skewed. I'll wait. Before the game started, as trashy as they've played, he was number one in the league in touchdown passes, and he was number one in the league in completion percentage. So obviously has a little bit of talent.
And third down conversions.
Obviously he's a little bit talented.
He's very talented, but there's no reason for what we're watching right now. Like there's no reason for it.
I agree with John, though. I hate to say this. I agree with you again.
You agree with me.
I agree with you all the time.
So the good news is we all agree. The bad news is we have zero effect on anything. So
that's right.
Well, I know McDermott tunes into this broadcast, you know, at a different IP address.
He is a Zoom meeting master. I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
Am I getting us out of here?
I'll say this, Jerry. Thank you for being on tap to contribute. I'm glad that you decided to stay on for the show, Joe. You know, you're gonna have to take a pill. I had to take one yesterday. You're on three: the game, your show, and now this show. You better go see a masseuse or something or a therapist. I don't know what, but I thought you got redder as the show went on. I'm a little concerned, buddy. So if you need somebody to talk you off the ledge, I'm here. Don't call Jerry because he's been known to push guys off the edge.
I probably need to be pushed. Jerry missed it. Yesterday, I went after the Bills players, the Bills coaches. I went after the beat reporters. I went after the fans. I went after everybody. Like, there was nobody left unvictimized by
me. And then, like the movie Slapshot, Joe went to the penalty box and he felt much shame.
So Joe, I'll tell you this, and then we can cut out real quick. I did enjoy your comment about too many of the beat reporters want to be buddy-buddy with the organization, right? It's like the White House press room. You want to try to play friendly so you get called on so you don't ask any challenging questions. I agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that you can push and be respectful. Mm-hmm. And I saw it on Twitter yesterday. I was texting you guys. There are a couple comments out there that are personal attacks against players, which
It's not good.
No, not good.
Yeah. Personal attacks on players is not good at all.
Jerry, so, any final thoughts? Oh, sorry, John. Yeah. My bad. My bad.
I was going to say, Jerry, enjoy hosting the Off Tackle show next week with John Fina.
Jerry, any final thoughts?
It can't be any worse than when you invited me on to do the show with you and then had me run your entire show while we did the show together. I've never had that. Hey, could you come on and fill in for Joe? And by the way, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Could you send me a link and run?
Not a clue. And that's Jerry's final thought, is that although I work in the tech industry, I'm tech inept.
My final thought is I just want to see a glimpse of Josh Allen energy Thursday night. Mm. And unfortunately, folks, after a game like this, and then you got to come back on a short week, it's even harder to do. So hopefully we have short a miracle, week. Yeah, really no week. And hopefully we see a spark out of him that because when he does play that way, they follow.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Off Tackle with John Fina show with a special guest, Jerry Ostrowski, both former offensive linemen for the Buffalo Bills. Brought to you by Fichte, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. My name is Joe Miller. So good to have you guys. We appreciate you, all of us. Much love. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.